Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Jessica Hergert. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Radhakrishnan Ramchandran, MD, Professor and Chief of the Division of Hematology Oncology at the University of Tennessee Medical Center to discuss the development of the novel small molecule radiotherapeutic phospholipid ether phospholipid drug conjugate CLR-131 in Waldenstrom macroglobulinemia. CLR-131 is a novel small molecule radiotherapeutic phospholipid drug conjugate that is designed to deliver cytotoxic radiation to cancer cells and stem cells. The agent is under investigation in the Phase 2 CLOVER-1 study, in which investigators are evaluating its safety and efficacy in patients with select B-cell malignancies, including multiple myeloma, indolent chronic lymphocytic leukemia, small lymphocytic leukemia, lymphoplasmacytic lymphoma, marginal zone lymphoma, mantle cell lymphoma, diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, central nervous system lymphoma, and Waldenstrom macroglobulinemia, who have been previously treated with standard therapy. Results from the study showed significant responses in the cohort of patients with Waldenstrom macroglobulinemia, leading Selectar Biosciences, the developer of the agent, to meet with the FDA and launch a single-arm expansion cohort of the CLOVER-1 trial in this patient population. CLOVER-WAM is a pivotal expansion cohort that will evaluate the efficacy of CLR-131 in adult patients with Waldenstrom macroglobulinemia who have received at least two prior lines of therapy, including those who have a suboptimal response or failed treatment with a BTK inhibitor. In our exclusive interview, Ramchandran discussed current unmet needs in Waldenstrom macroglobulinemia and ongoing research with the phospholipid ether phospholipid drug conjugate CLR-131 in this population. What therapeutic options are currently available for patients with Waldenstrom macroglobulinemia who have limited response to other treatments?
The best way to handle that question or answer that question is to summarize a little bit of the natural history of Waldenstrom's, because I think that informs that a little bit better. But Waldenstrom's macroglobulinemia is a, as you say, a relatively rare malignancy. It's various publications suggest somewhere between 1,000 to 2,000 new cases diagnosed annually in the United States. So really not a common disease. What's important to know is that even with current therapies, you know, the ones that we use traditionally, that includes chemotherapy as well as some targeted therapies, this is a disease that's managed rather than cured. And another way to put that is that all patients with Waldenstrom tend to relapse eventually. It depends on the timing, and some patients have a longer duration of response to initial or subsequent therapies, and other patients have shorter ones. And that's based on a variety of clinical factors, and as we've learned in the past decade, perhaps some molecular factors as well. But all patients eventually relapse if they live long enough with this disease. And that's terribly unfortunate, of course, because the complications associated with Waldenstrom's can be quite significant. And importantly, the treatments tend to work less and less well as time goes on and the more treatments that you have, particularly if you use the same kinds of treatments over and over again. So while you get benefit perhaps that might last a few years initially, that same treatment will not work nearly as well after, you know, second or third line treatment occurs. So that's the rationale for needing new therapies in this disease.
Could you discuss the agent under investigation in the CLOVER-1 study and describe its mechanism of action? How may it uniquely help these patients?
Yeah, so this is a very unique mechanism, one that is really not been utilized in Waldenstrom's or most lymphomas that I'm aware of. And so this uses what we call radioiodination. And what that is a small radioactive isotope that's attached to a compound that targets the cancer cell. And there are various ways to target a cancer cell. There's antibodies, but what is doubly unique about doing this is not only the use of radiation, which is not common in Waldenstrom's, but the mechanism by which it targets the malignant cell is by the selective uptake and retention of phospholipid ethers, which occur more frequently and turnover occurs more frequently in cancer cells as opposed to normal cells. So it is a target that is preferentially attract the investigational agent CLR-131.
What has been observed in earlier data that contributed to the decision to include this expansion cohort?
I think what's most exciting about this is the original initial data that came out regarding this agent in prior meetings, and particularly in ASCO. And this looked at a relatively small number of patients with this disease, because it was one early and this is a rare disease, but there were six patients and they were described within the presentation. And what's important to note is these are patients that have been heavily pretreated by prior regimens and essentially largely having resistance or suboptimal responses to existing therapies. And so these patients were then analyzed molecularly and then treated with CLR-131. And this demonstrated an overall response rate of 100%, which is very exciting and uncommon in multiply relapsed treatment patients as a whole. And 83% of them had a major response. So a very high proportion of this small population responded to the therapy despite having difficulty responding to their prior therapies or their current therapy coming into this. So very intriguing data, obviously very early, but led to the desire to look at this in a larger number of patients and thus the expansion cohort we're speaking of.
Could you walk us through who will be enrolled in the expansion cohort, the drug delivery method, and anything else particularly that investigators will be paying attention to or things that maybe you're excited to learn about these patients on either a molecular level or otherwise, as we observe how patients respond to this treatment?
That's a great question. And I think the way I would look at it is this would be for adults, so 18 or older patients, who have a diagnosis of Waldenstrom's macroglobulinemia and have had at least two prior lines of therapy. They need to have a measurable IgM or nodal disease and have need for treatment. I think that's an important caveat going into this. In terms of treatment, the CLR-131 is an infusion and it's given intravenously on four occasions throughout the course of treatment. So they get this infusion on day 1, day 15, day 57, and day 71 of their therapy. This is a treatment that, compared to other treatments, there's less infusions and they're more spread apart. It is, of course, something that we will need to be watched closely as part of a clinical trial. And there will be additional visits for safety and efficacy that go into that. But broadly, that's the general treatment regimen. From a side effect point of view, this was relatively well tolerated, with main side effects related to cytopenias, which are seen with the disease itself, but also can be seen with the regimen and have to be monitored closely.
Based on these data, as well as looking ahead, are there other research trends for this patient population on the horizon that could lead to future options for this patient population?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are drugs in development. There are potential therapies that might be seen as agents that are currently under investigation as well. Some of these include drugs that we use for other conditions like multiple myeloma. What I think would be most interesting with this drug, this agent, if it is found to be successful and approved, whether combinations of these therapies may be of value, whether it's BTK inhibitors plus this agent, or, for example, some of the other chemotherapeutic agents, that may prove beneficial with this population. But I think also molecularly, we've learned a lot about this disease, and in particular, mutations with MYD88 and CXCR4 would be of value, because they do have different responses to therapy, different prognoses. And while we don't know enough about this agent to say whether this can change outcomes in those subpopulations, I think that will be a very interesting question as we learn more about this drug and patients with Waldenstrom's.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave and at EnclaveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and Enclave State of the Science Summit, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave on Air.